We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is one of my absolute favorites, y'all. It's Mr. Rick Spain. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Was there drum rolling that?
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah. we're a makeshift operation here, but we are fully equipped.
Amen.
Fully equipped for every good work. Man, it's good to be here this morning.
I'm so glad you could join us this morning. You always bring good food to this table, and I'm ready to eat.
Yeah.
Just as soon as I finish our intro stuff.
Let's do it.
All right.
Do it.
It's cutting out. If you have a praise report, hang on just a second.
Having a little technical difficulty this morning.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. We will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended.
You about forgot, didn't you?
Oh, no. I just making sure you are right over there. Yeah. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Today is Thursday. Pastor Dwight is not in the building. However, we will have a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast following this program. We will end the program and then set up the iPad again and come back with a word from Pastor Dwight through the Truth broadcast. Covered it all.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, he is faithful, man.
You did it again.
Monica can't do that, but the Holy Spirit, he just brings it to my remembrance.
All that information. You know what I'd do? I'd just record it once and then just push record. Speak it.
I'm going to talk to Neva about that, and she's going to get a hold of you about giving me ideas.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Would you pray to start us out, brother?
I got to bring in a little bit before, you know, because it's kind of funny. Sometimes maybe I share too much personal, but I just think that if this stuff isn't personal to me, then it's not going to be personal to you. We have a beautiful grandson. He is just turned 5 months old. We have been given the responsibility for, it was going to be a few days, and it's turned into a couple of weeks. This boy, oh my gosh, he is so good. He doesn't cry a lot. You know, he's not real loud, and he's usually in a good mood unless you take the bottle away and you want to burp him. Last two nights, oh my gosh, this has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about today. By the way, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about Rick Spain, Rick Spain's experience. The night before last, he decided he wanted to wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And so I'm a really light sleeper. So I was awake with him. Thankfully, Mimi got up, took care of him. And went back to sleep, and I made it through yesterday. Well, last night, 2 o'clock. Heather didn't get a whole lot of sleep the night before. I'm thinking our power work and all this stuff I've got to do. So I just laid there. About 30 minutes later, Mimi gets up, And so we are relying heavily on the grace of God this morning. And he's always faithful. So let's. I just want to share that. Thank you, Father. Thank you for today. You made this day for us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. We choose to bring honor and glory to your name, Lord God. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, we choose. Father, I thank you for the program today. I pray that it comes with your anointing, Lord God. I pray, as Monica prayed earlier, that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to do. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Why Purpose?
Why Purpose? Yeah, you know, it's that is just something that the Lord dropped in me. You know, I'm teaching on purpose right now. This is my title on Wednesday night, or the what we're studying is purpose. And so I was sitting down yesterday, because that's when I put the lesson together, take off work a little bit early, go to the house, and put this lesson together, and we talked about it last night. So, you know, I know its purpose is in there somewhere, and he just dropped that in me. Why purpose? That's an interesting title to me. You know, I don't like to have a title as a question, but that's what we're going to deal with today. You know, why purpose? God has purpose in everything. Everything, God has purpose. But one of the things we don't realize is that the purpose is in the thing. And so let me put it another way. Let's say that, you know, you're a young couple and you become pregnant. More accurately put, the wife becomes pregnant. And you're looking forward to this, and it's a new experience and all this stuff. And mom lays in bed, and she's thinking about, you know, I've never done this, and I don't know if I can do it. And all the, you know, all these thoughts come to you. Of course, dad's working. You know, he's thinking, this is going to be good. Yeah. So anyway, the baby's born. The nurse comes and brings the baby and puts it in the mother's arms. And all of a sudden, you get this supernatural understanding that this is your child. And the instincts kick in. You know, and for those that the instincts don't kick in, I wonder. Because God put it in us. God put it in that mother to be a mother. And so, and that's the way it is in everything with God. God has purpose in everything, but we got to understand the purpose is in the thing. And so whatever God places in front of you or imposes upon your life and you're praying for God to remove it, you need to understand that God has given you an ability to do whatever's necessary to encounter that thing in your life. You know, and so we look at the scripture that God causes all things to turn for our good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so when we look at that, when we face stuff we've never encountered, you know, we lose sleep at night, we stress, we worry, and you know, somehow we get through it, and then we rarely look back because it's over. And so, pardon me. And so, you know, we don't, a lot of times, don't even think about it anymore. So remember, this is a side thought, but remember this, the worst problem you'll ever face, and this is without doubt, the worst problem you will ever face is the one you're facing right now. And so when you, and you think, no, I've encountered a lot worse problems than this, well, are they a problem anymore? That's the question. If there's still a problem, you hadn't dealt with it. If they're no longer a problem, then they're definitely not your worst problem. Your worst problem is the one you're facing now. And so if we understand what we're going to talk about this morning, this is going to help enlighten us. And so, you know, and this is what God does by his Holy Spirit. You know, when everything's dark and when understanding's gone, the Holy Spirit comes in, he brings light. Brings light to your situation, your circumstance, whatever you're going through. So I want to read in the text in Romans chapter 9, and we're going to begin in verse 14. It says, "What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God. May it never be. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the earth. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so in order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory." Now, if you're like me, as we read this text, I tend to get caught up in verses 15 through, 15 through 21, let's say. And it's talking about God has mercy on who he wants to have mercy, and he has judgment on who he wants to judge. And so, this used to bother me because I'm thinking, okay, that kind of sounds like God can do whatever he wants to do. Is everybody else seeing that? You know, he's God. And so if he wants to say, well, you're no good and you're good, well, that's his, he can do that. But we miss the first verse. Verse 14, what shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. There is no injustice with God. And so we're going to come back to this thought here in a little bit. I'm going to go on with, now what I'm doing here this morning is this is teaching. We're in a teaching format here. So it would be good for you to get a pencil and a piece of paper out if you have the opportunity or if you can, or your mobile device, whatever it may be. You know, me, I'm still a pen and paper person. So so we're going to get into this. What I want us to understand that there are two sides to every coin. You know, and so you think about that. You pull a coin out of your pocket and you look at it. You look at one side, it may have a face, and the other side, some kind of an emblem. You know, and so why is that? It is a distinguishing mark. So if you had the same picture on both sides, then, you know, it would do us no good to flip a coin, right? Flip a coin. If it's got the same emblem on both sides, you know, how can we make a decision? So this is what I'm saying is there's two sides to everything. Two sides. You know, it's kind of like the thought, you know, everything would be all right. Everything would be great if people just agreed with me. You know, and you think about that. Think about it. Everything be all right if everybody just agree with me. Well, probably not, but, you know, it's a thought. So, you know, we generally see one side of the coin. We don't see the other side. We have to consciously look for the other side. You know, and I've learned this in dealing with people. And it's been a gift that God's given me, the ability to read people. So I don't look at just face value. Now, I don't do this with everybody, but you know, the Lord gives me that ability. And so especially when I'm dealing with customers, you know, before we start that job, I want to get a read on this person. What is it that motivates them? Because, you know, what motivates me is I want to go in there and fulfill a desire and come back with a ending result that they're going to enjoy for a long time. And so when I read people, one of the things I do, are they moved by the desire to do whatever we're doing, or are they moved by the money it takes to do that? And so I understand, you know, you got to be conscious of money. It's something you work for. But, you know, if money's first, I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody, but if money is your main priority and you want me to work for you, it's probably not going to happen, because I am moved to create. God put it in me. I'm going to create something you're going to enjoy. And so that's one of the things that you read in people. You know, it's when you get an argument with somebody. Well, who's right in the argument? Obviously, we know the question, right? We're right. There wouldn't be an argument if we weren't. You just agree. And so, no, that's not true. So instead of looking at just your side, that's what the scripture tells us. Don't just consider yourself, consider others. And so I've learned this, and so I can see where people have really, I'm looking at the personal side, people have done me dirty. Now, we're not going to talk about the people I've done dirty before Christ, but, you know, talk about the ones that did me dirty. And, you know, at first, you know, it was that, you know, it was personal, one thing, but it was something direct. And so I see it as a direct attack, or whatever you want to put it as. And so, you know, but with time, as I've grown in Christ, I've learned not just to see what they did, but why they did it. Why? Why, you know, what is it? And it's amazing how much peace that'll bring to your life. Because if you're focused on the frontal attack, then that's all the focus you have. When you focus on the reason why, then that gives you that compassion, that mercy, whatever it is. And you know what? It doesn't matter what people do to you. God will always turn it to good. And so that's why we're getting into this thought, why purpose. So what we just read, we looked at vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath. Vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath. And so these two are in the equation. And who is making the determining factor in this? Who's a vessel of mercy? Who's a vessel of wrath? Can I get an answer on that? It's God. God is the one that determines that. And so we need to understand that God is determining which one's going to be a vessel of mercy and which going to be a vessel of wrath. I want to get into this thought before we go further, because I want you to understand that everything in life works on a legal format, a legal basis. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. But I want you to also understand that mercy is a law to itself. It's what you call the law of mercy. When you start understanding the law of mercy, you're going to start understanding a lot about life and a lot about Him for sure. So how does that law of mercy work? The law of mercy has two individuals in the picture, at least. So you've got lesser and you've got a greater. Someone who's above and someone who's underneath. Now, can the one underneath exercise mercy over the one who is greater? No. You don't have the ability. Only the greater can exercise mercy over the lesser. Okay, somebody did me wrong, and I'm in a position. You know, they did, you know, I was in an upper position. They come in, they undercut me. And so in that law, I can make a decision. Am I going to forgive them? Am I going to show mercy? Or am I going to do something, you know, am I going to fight back? You know, one or the other. And so understanding that law of mercy, mercy works and it is a law, but it is dependent upon the greater and not upon the lesser. The lesser can't say, come on, God, I need some mercy here. Or I can't, you're a merciful God, show me some mercy. That doesn't work. He's the one that controls it. And so when we look at that vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath, He is the one that determines it. So I want to ask you a question. When we think of vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath, which side are you on? Which side are you on? Now, obviously, we're all listening to this program, and I can tell you probably 100% of us are going to say we're on the side of mercy. We're on that side. And that's and you could go ask people on the streets, you know, and give them a little understanding of mercy and judgment, you know, and they're going to say, well, man, I'm under God's mercy. The majority of people will tell you that, you know, whether they know Him or not, they want to be under His mercy. So we look at that in a general way, and we think, well, we're all under His mercy. Well, now I want you to look at in a personal way, looking at it in a personal way. There's been times when God showed you mercy, and there is no way you deserved it. And then there's been times when God says, okay, that's the way you want it. Here you go. That is lifting His mercy. Now, His mercy endures forever, but sometimes He allows us to go through things by our own decisions. And so, we're still talking about there's two sides to every coin. So I want you to understand that you can choose. You can make a decision. You can make a choice for whatever you want. I can tell you right now, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to think, wherever you want to go, you can make that choice. You have a free will. God's not going to stand in the way. He won't. But one thing I'll tell you is that you can make the choice, but you cannot choose the consequences of the choice. And so when we're looking at this two sides to every coin, I want us to understand that there is two sides. And so, you know, we may think that, you know, this is one thing that I learned years ago, and I never thought about it. I don't remember where I learned it, but that thinking about God being on His side. You know, well, the Lord's on my side. If the Lord be for me, who can be against me? You know, and so we walk around confident saying, well, God's on my side, and then we go out and make stupid decisions. You know, and so then, you know, other people talk, you see what they did, and they're supposed to be Christians. You know, was God in that? Mm-hmm. Okay. No, we got heads shaking here. All right. No, He wasn't. And so understand that God is not on anybody's side. He is a side. He is, matter of fact, He is the side. And so it's not him getting him on board with you. It's you getting on board with him. And so understanding that there is two sides. You know, judgment or mercy. Which one do you want to be in? So if you want to be in judgment, well, then you can claim God's on your side. If you want to be in mercy, well, he is that side. And understanding that he rules and reigns in our life. I don't know when you want to take a break, Monica. It's what we got coming up is I've got this in three parts. So we can take a break now or. What do you guys think? Let's take a break. We'll come back. Got more good stuff for you.
Miss Tina, do you have? I don't have any. Do you have any over there, sister? Okay.
We want to pray for Viola Romero. She's been in ICU with a really bad infection. She's off the ventilator and improving, but she has a long road of recovery. And pray for peace for her family through it.
You know, the one thing I want to say is that I am recognizing a lot of people dealing with physical stuff. Lots. Sickness. There's flu going around. There is the COVID going around. And then there's something that they can't even identify. It's a respiratory and you know, it's... That a lot of that going on. I see a lot of people being attacked in their physical bodies, you know, and I want you to climb on board with me this morning because we have to recognize the scripture tells us not to be ignorant of the tactics of the enemy. And so if we see just a multitude of physical ailments and physical challenges going on, we have to put a finger on it. God didn't cause it. Where is it coming from? So, you know, what I have begun to do is I began to confront, because we got to understand that the enemy has specific areas, and he has, it's like in God's kingdom, he's got a line of authority. That's the way it is in the enemy's kingdom. And so this is what I call spirits of infirmity. Spirits of infirmity. And this is something we're going to come against this morning, as well as pray for Viola. So, Father, we love you and we bless you. We thank you, Lord God, that you've anointed us and equipped us for this time, Lord God, whatever we face, Lord God, and that we are able to be an extension to those, Lord God, that aren't in the... don't have the ability to help themselves at this time, Lord God. I thank you, Father. We lift up Viola to you, Lord God, and we're thanking you that she is off that ventilator, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that she is improving, and we speak to that long road of recovery, and we're going to cut it into a fraction. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that the Spirit of God that lives in her is going to do miraculous things in her body. She's going to have a speedy recovery. We thank you and we give you glory for it. Father, we come against in your stead, by your authority, not by our own. By your authority, we come against the spirits of infirmity over the and we proclaim it over the airwaves in Jesus' name. We release you from your assignment. We command you to go back to where you came. And we speak life. We release a spirit of healing, a spirit of peace, a spirit of more than enough. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen.